Hi, welcome to the Ocean Lovers Podcast. I'm Kirsty, the host of Ocean Lovers. This podcast was started by wanting to make a difference, to educate others of all ages about our oceans and marine life, and of course, to share our passions with all of you. This is an all ocean related podcast where we cover all sorts of different topics, like deep dives on marine life, and we even have special guests come on and chat with us about their education background, career choice, and what motivates them to be in the marine science field. I hope you stick around and listen to the episodes and enjoy the podcast.
Okay.
All right. So this is part two. We knew that there was going to be a lot of information about this trip. So in part one, we basically finished it off with you talking about pretty much from start to end of the nesting experience that you guys did at night. How long does it take from them start to finish? So I know someone timed it from the minute that she dropped the eggs. Is that mm-hmm. accurate? So how long did it take from that
from start to finish? It could take anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour or more.
Okay.
For all of these, that is what most of my experience is in, because I've only dealt with one leatherback, which leatherbacks can go from to over 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It could take forever for leatherbacks to lay. And so for us, it was probably at least an hour, but it only took her once she started laying, it took her 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
To lay all of her eggs. And I think she laid 162 or 163 or something like
okay
that. That's what our first one laid. Yeah, so
okay, so I'm just gonna assume yeah. the time is probably a lot shorter, because for one, she's a smaller turtle, and the leatherbacks, they are obviously much bigger and they probably lay more A's, because I want to say they lay hundreds at a time from what I remember reading, a lot.
With the one that was our surprise, we called her June, by the way. Her name was June. She actually only, what's interesting about leatherbacks is that they lay fertile and infertile eggs.
Oh.
And they lay out their fertile eggs first, and then they lay the infertile eggs on top. And so turtle eggs are the size of a golf ball. Mm-hmm. They're just squishy. They look exactly like a golf ball, same size, everything. They're just a little squishy. And but sometimes they could be the size of a little pebble.
Oh,
and it's okay. just infertile things, because they have their eggs covered in a mucus, and the mucus kind of helps protect them and helps regulate their temperature in mm-hmm. the nest. And so they lay the infertile eggs on top, so those could cook, basically. And so if those die, they're not even fertile,
in a way,
they would get cooked first and help insulate the actual fertile eggs in the egg chamber, in the nest, more, which is really smart. And it also carries more mucus as well. Okay. So
it's almost like a barrier. Laid
33 fertile.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
June, she's an older turtle. You have data on her.
Okay.
So now, it's really cool.
For the olive ridleys, you guys mentioned that you had people tag them. So is there a way do they keep track a lot of the same females? Oh, this is the one we had last year. I know it would be hard to identify, but is there a way that they do that? They kind of know certain females. I mean, I know that there's literally hundreds of thousands that are going to these beaches in Costa Rica to these mass nesting, so I could see it being very hard. But is it possible to where they can name them?
So we don't have them named. What we have, what they have is they have Austin All on one side of the little metal clamp that goes on their right front flipper. Okay. And on the other side is a number. It's a little serial number. And we write that down in the book when we are working with the turtle, and she's not tagged. If she is tagged, we'll say where she's from and the the serial number in the little notebook we have. And that will get put into the
a database.
Computer for the database.
Okay.
Station for the research that they're doing. Yeah.
So once they're tagged, it's permanent.
is what you're saying. Like the, it's not just like a tag that, you know how like they do on like humpbacks and stuff where it's a tag, but it eventually comes off. So it's an actual permanent tag that they put on the flipper. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, well, cause researchers used to do that as well. And it was just becoming waste because once it fell off, there wasn't transmitting anymore. So they couldn't find it. So they decided just to go to the little metal clamps. As far as I know, that's what we were told. Okay. And they just went to the little metal clamps, not for the leather backs, obviously, because it's hard to get it on them because they're a lot thicker. It's like kind of like a elephant or like a rhino for them. So it's really thick. So, but for all the other kinds of turtles, we just use a little metal clamp. Okay. So Austin does it on the right front flipper. They used to do it on the left. Some programs still do it on the left. It kind of just depends. Oh. So on like where the turtle was tagged, and even if it's tagged and it's not tagged on the other side, sometimes they have multiple tags on them because they can have one on this side and one on this side. How the program works, or the research institute or whatever it is, that's just how they tag. They can tag them like the leatherback. I got to see, she was tagged on both flippers.
Oh wow.
And her right flipper, actually she was tagged in Austin All, and we actually got to talk about it. And it was really cool seeing her past data that we got to see. So, and we got to see like her egg count, she was on the beach because we saw the mark on this day, and it was this cloud, like it was cloudy, or it was like clear in the sky, and you get to see all that data.
Okay,
which
cool.
is really interesting.
Yeah, so
see,
at
when
night,
you see it all laid out for you.
Yeah. At night, when you found the one olive Ridley turtle, was she tagged, or was that not a tagged turtle yet?
So our first turtle, she wasn't tagged at all. And then our last turtle that I got to work with, she wasn't tagged as well, but it was pretty late because, as we say, she was crazy. So which she didn't actually, she was a little bit of a nutcase, but it was also storming. But we were standing out basically in a monsoon, just like downpouring on the beach. And I just wanted to go home. Like I was soaked through.
Oh no.
Like my rain jacket hit its limit and it just seeped. Like it was no longer waterproof.
Oh no.
It was downpouring that hard. Oh. Yeah. And there was like lightning and thunder kind of far away. So like we'll go out. If there's thunder or if there's lightning, we'll go out. If you hear thunder close to you, then you'll go home. So you're like, that's 3 miles out. Okay, we're headed home. We're
interesting,
done. So because we can't have umbrellas out. We can't have umbrellas on the beach. So you're just out there like just trudging it, just going, and it stinks because your clothes are sticking to you. And like, I'm a person that doesn't like wet clothes sticking to me.
Yeah.
But like the walking stinks, but when you're working with a turtle in the rain, it's not that bad.
Yeah. You're like, really? Oh, I'm going to do this one time, so I guess I can stick through it. Why won't they let you take umbrellas? Patrol,
it's how my group leader described it, is that you're not going to be Mary Poppins on the beach because it's obvious.
Yeah, that's true.
That you're out there. So, and we don't want to tell people that we're out there. I mean, in Austin All, we have patrolmen, we have guards that walk as well. They walk further up the beach. They walk closer to the beach, but, like closer to like the street, not like to the waves. We're like near the waves. They're up on the other, up a little higher with their white light, just sweeping. Mm-hmm. And they'll like turn it off, and then like if they see movement, like they'll keep going. And they've been doing this for years, done this for generations, really.
Yeah.
Well, it's another way to help with poachers, really, on the beach. And if you go out there, you can take a tour. It's just you have to go with a guide. You can't go by yourself because you will get told and escorted off beach at night because you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You can be messing up turtle nest, you can be messing with the turtles, because if they see white light, they're very, turtles are very photosensitive. Mm-hmm. And with it is that they also only see in colors yellow to purple.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why we use the red light, because they can't see red, but red light also helps us, because for us humans, we have our red light allows us to still have full night vision with still being able to see.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
So
yeah,
it helps all of us out.
Yeah. All around it to win.
We can't see it, but we can still see them.
Yeah.
So yeah. And it was, it's its own thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then like you see it sweep across and you're like, what the heck? And you look straight at it. And you're like, don't look at it, because you don't want to get your night vision messed up either.
Yeah.
So, cause you're just going down the beach with your whole group. And oh it was, gosh. it's a really nice experience, especially when you find tracks. Cause you're like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, is she there? And then of course, like your group leader or your research assistant goes up and is just like, and they'll like run, like they'll walk back and they're like, no, she's gone, or yeah, she's up there, let's go.
Aww.
So it's kind of like a big surprise, and it's like anxiety ridden, because yeah, you're like, oh my god, I see tracks, okay, let's go. And then it's like, okay, like is there turtles or not,
like, yeah, 50-50.
Yeah, like you're like, okay, or is she at the end and like she's just packing up? And we'll sometimes stay, like we would stay and watch her just go back to the ocean.
Yeah.
And we're like, that's still magical. It's great.
Yeah. Cause like you said, you can really only do that, take your own like data and research, is when they're kind of, when she's laying the eggs, like when she's in that like kind of like that daze. So that's really like the only time you guys can do it. Okay.
Yeah. So what was funny is that the last night that we were patrolling, which was like 2 weeks ago now.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what's today? Yeah, today's Tuesday, huh? Yeah, today's Tuesday. Yes. So yeah, 2 weeks ago, I actually was patrolling for the last time 2 weeks ago. We had a crazy turtle. And why we mean by crazy is that she was just crazy. Like she dug, and she was just digging her egg chamber, and it kept collapsing on her because it was so wet.
No.
Raining so much, and she got frustrated that she started throwing sand like out, like just fully just out at it. Like,
I don't care where it's going.
Yeah, but it was hilarious because we had our timer down on the ground, like crouched like behind her, and we had our egg layer down on the ground, and they were just getting hit, like just pelted. Just,
oh my god.
Like they were so close to her, because you can get so close to turtles that they were basically always getting slapped in the face by this crazy turtle.
Poor turtle.
I know. But we were trying so hard not to
laugh,
because you have red light and you see what's happening. Is that the turtle's just going like just like she's just bad.
Aww.
So she like covered up and she moved like 5 feet. And usually when they cover up, they'll just go back to the ocean. So we were like, oh, she's just going to go back to the ocean, whatever. And we can all go home. Because it was downpouring.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, this girl stops and starts to make another nest. And we're like, okay.
So she made two. Oh, is that common for them to like do multiple a night? Or
she didn't lay any eggs.
Oh, okay.
So then she was like, okay, well, this spot's not it, because it kept collapsing on her. And she can feel it in the egg chamber that it was collapsing on her.
Yeah.
So she moved like 5 feet away, made a new one, got it all pretty prepped. And it was like, it was perfect. It wasn't like anything. And then she just had some trouble laying.
Aw.
And so she didn't lay at all.
Oh, wow. Okay. All.
Yeah. So we got the measurement on her. And this was the turtle I actually got to touch, because you had to like swipe away the sand. So you have to be like pretty careful with her and everything. Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting to see all of that, and be able to do that and be able to actually touch her shell, touch her skin, be able to do that was very special for me, especially on my last night, even though I was like just soaked.
Yeah. Like a part of you wants to be like done with it, but then you're like, oh, but it's such an experience. Like, how could you not want it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how, you know, it's just memorable that way.
Yeah.
So she just had trouble laying, like she just couldn't get her eggs going. And what's weird about
she's probably so stressed.
I know, right? With like the rain and her first nest not going, like
screw this.
Like, it's like, whatever. Yeah. But with it, it's interesting because turtles, like, they don't mate for life. They mate once a season.
Yeah.
They can have that sperm in them and they actually can store it basically in them. And they use that for all their eggs throughout the entire season. Because mm-hmm. they don't lay all their eggs and then they're done. They lay multiple times a season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting because it's like they'll go back out to the ocean mm-hmm. for like 15 days or whatever. And then they come back.
Yeah.
And then they do the same thing and they just go back out, whatever. But they don't go that far. They'll just go down to the bottom and chill. They'll come up and then they just kind of go back down, back up, and they just keep doing that until they're kind of ready to lay again.
Yeah. Huh.
So, and they're not that far off. I mean, they're like pretty far out there, but they're not that far offshore.
Yeah. Like for them, they're not like migrating or anything. They stay.
Yeah,
really close.
Yeah, there was a study done. We actually watched a documentary from BBC while we were there, which okay. is trippy because it's about Austin Awe. So it's really trippy because you're like, oh my god, there's the estuary, there's this, there's that, and you're like, that's right across the street.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh my god, it's trippy. And so it was BBC's Inside the Nest. If anyone wants to watch it, it's kind of hard to find.
Okay.
So, but they basically did a few studies in this documentary, and two of the research assistants are in it. They're oh, actually cool. in it. You gotta see one. He made it on screen, and we're like, oh my god, yeah, like there he is. So, like, it was hilarious.
Yeah,
I want to see him. But he was working with a lady, and that's what she did. Like, she was like, where do they go? Like after they lay. And then she like tracked them out too, like after they were done. And they're like, oh, season's done. All right, where are they going? And they're going like up north. So into our waters where they usually feed, and they mm-hmm. just go back down into the tropics to breed and lay.
Yeah.
And they did a few other things. Like it was the actual first time that someone actually recorded a turtle nest. So they actually that time they actually made a hatchery on Austin Awe Beach, and they took all of Ridley eggs and they put it in, and they had a clear like glass basically mm-hmm. and they had cameras in a box, and they made their own egg chamber and everything.
Oh wow.
And like the main researcher knew how to do that, so he did everything, and it was cool. They got to see the entire process.
Yeah, something that you would never really see unless somebody yeah educated enough to build that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, but especially when you're there and you're listening to it and you're watching it and you're just like, it's trippy.
Yeah, you're like, I'm here.
yeah that's how I was. Like I was sitting in the living room, and I was just like, it's right there. Like,
yeah,
I can go and walk on it in like 5 minutes. Like,
yeah, that's how I felt when I watched the documentary with I don't know if you listened to an episode, it's one of our older ones, like our first, oh my gosh, I'd have to look, with Tom Mustel. Oh my gosh.
I know you mentioned it though.
Yes.
In the Leatherback episode.
Did I mention it in there, or did we mention it?
You mentioned Tom.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh. What is the podcast? Rich Dolan. I'm trying to look. Oh, hopefully we have Rich on soon. Oh my gosh. No, not Ted Cheeseman. I can't find it. That documentary. What was the documentary called? I'm totally getting a blank right now. But yeah, the one with Tom Mustel, and it's the whole documentary is based out of Monterey. So there's Mambari, Ted Cheeseman's in it, which of course at the time of watching it, I was like, I know of Happy Whale. I don't know who Ted Cheeseman is. And then I ended up before I went on maternity leave, I was actually doing social media for Happy Whale. So I'm like, it's so crazy to see like the turnaround of everything's like how things can, it's like, wait a minute, now I actually know this guy. Now we like message on a daily basis, you know, about social media and what to post. And
that's so cool though.
Yeah.
That's,
like, oh, I've been so on nice that boat.
It's nice to have that connection.
Yes.
In the field, even if in some way, it's really cool.
Yeah. And it's cool to see like your surroundings, like, oh, I know Moss Landing, like that's my favorite place, or oh, I've been on that boat before. And it's like in this documentary, and you're like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the name of it. I can't find it for some reason. It's bothering me. But yeah. That's so cool. Talk a little bit about like the egg harvest, because that's like mainly what I was reading about. And I know that it almost sounds like controversial, like from what I was reading, but I know you probably know a lot more in like the culture behind it and everything. So I'm like super into it.
That's why we were given those articles that I sent you. Yes. Which have a few others. I actually have a leatherback one if you want it too.
Oh, cool. Well. Yeah.
That our group leader gave us. So the first one we talked about was about egg harvesting and the selling of turtle eggs and consumption of turtle eggs, which when we were given the tour of the town, which is very, it's this very small little like town, village, whatever you want to call it. Our group leader was like, oh yeah, you see that sign on the house? And we're like, yeah. He's like, okay, someone that speaks Spanish, tell me what it is. And they're like, they sell turtle eggs. And we're like, for what?
Like, you're like, wait a minute, why am I here?
Yeah, we're like, isn't that kind of controversial when you live like across the street from a wildlife refuge? And he's like, we'll talk about it, it's fine. And we were like, oh my God, we would never, like, what is wrong with these people?
Well, when I was reading it from the articles you sent me, I was like, wait, am I reading this right? I'm like, what?
Yep.
Yep. I'm like, okay, we're definitely going to talk about this.
Oh, yes. Yes. So a little backstory beforehand though is, so Osteonaw was basically created in the 1940s. And with that, obviously the residents came in time, all of that. And most of the world did not know about, like, they were unknown to what an Arrabatta was or a mass nesting event. And, but the residents did, but the world didn't know about mass nesting events until 1969.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. When researchers started to come into Osteonaw to be like, oh, let's research turtles here.
Yeah.
And, like, no one knew what it was. These mass nesting phenomena on olive ridleys, which was very interesting. So what was happening was that obviously the villagers or residents of Osteonaw were like, oh, this is a food source. Basically, this is a food source. Like, but it wasn't being not controlled.
Advertised? I see.
No, it wasn't being regulated at all. Because obviously no one had come in and done research and knew about what Arrabattas were.
Yeah.
So they had to take steps to do so. I mean, mass nesting events last anywhere from 3 to 10 days.
Oh, okay.
And turtles take 45 to 50 days to hatch for olives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting, but they were seeing that in these unregulated time before, the hatching success rate only was at 1 to 4%.
Okay.
Because it was so unregulated.
Yeah. And then on top of that, they're taking these large amounts too. So
yes. Ooh. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And in Osteonaw, it was at 8%. In other areas near the area, it was at 1 to 4%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Successful hatching rate, but in Osteonaw it was about 8%, but they were still taking a good amount of eggs. But also you have to think, an Arrabatta lasts 3 to 10 days.
Yeah.
First day of the Arrabatta, you can have 10,000 turtles on the beach. The beach in general is only 9 miles long. The main nesting beach is only half a mile long.
Yeah.
If you have 10,000 turtles up on the beach, you have the second day come, there's another 10,000 turtles, you're going to have no room on the beach.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen if no one takes those eggs? The turtles naturally are going to come, dig up those nests anyway, waste those eggs, and then just and put their own. But it's going to come again if another 20,000 turtles come the third day.
So you don't think, and this is just me thinking out loud, do you think they would be smart enough to be like, hey, there's no space here, like, let's go somewhere else, go somewhere that has more space? Like, do you think that they would be able to figure something out like that out if they didn't intervene and do that?
So if they, like, so if the residents didn't harvest the eggs, that's just gonna happen. The turtles are just gonna do them up anyway, because like you said, turtles have a magnetic, like, system. We don't know, we don't have much about it. We don't know how it happens. We don't know how it works, but we have, we know that that happens, because when they hatch and when they're going, like, everything, they just come back. The turtles don't care if there's eggs there. They'll just
lay. That's true, because because like you said, they camouflage it. So it's like, how would they really know at that point?
So with that came the, like, the regulation. And that was actually by the police.
Oh, okay.
But what happened was that it was very ineffective, because there wasn't as, like, there was, they only sent in, like, a small little group of police into the area. And it wasn't that effective. So they're like, what can we do? The community came together and was like, what can we do? They actually created a association. It's called AUDIO. And it is the Association Integrated Development of Austin Aw. And it was created in 1981 by residents of Austin Aw. And it's cool because some of the host families we got to stay with, their grandparents were actually founding members.
Oh, wow.
The lady who we had a tortilla lesson with, she was a founding member of AUDIO with her husband.
Oh, wow.
We're like, this is so cool. Like, we got to get, we get to meet them and kind of know their story and get to do that. So what AUDIO does is they have a board of member or directors, board of directors that get elected. There's eight people. They're called, they're eight juntas is what they're called. It's just the board of directors, and they can they serve a 4-year like term, and they can be elected for 2 consecutive terms, and then they can't be elected again. But what those like, one of the ladies that is a host, my I think it was Nettie is her name, she actually oversees and plans and is in charge of the actual egg harvesting and what's going to happen and how the residents do it. But the other thing is, with regulating what happens, is that I myself, if an arbata happened, I can't harvest. It is illegal for me to harvest eggs.
Okay.
There is specific criteria for you. You have to be a member of AUDIO to be able to harvest the eggs.
Oh, okay.
And can and be able to hand them out to other residents,
right,
or be able to sell them.
Okay. So yeah, so it's definitely more regulated now. So it's not like it's like, hey, here's 10 days, everybody have at it. Now it's like somebody organizing it, and there has to be like only a certain amount of people that can pretty much do it, sell it.
Yeah. So some of the criteria for the residents, you have to be born and raised in Austin Aw, and you have to be at, you can start harvesting at the age of 15.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And if you come and move from Austin Aw, you at least have to be living in Austin Aw as a resident for 5 or more years to be able to be qualified to become a member of AUDIO.
Oh, wow.
You can't live there for 5 years and then you're automatically a member. You have to apply to become a member. Like, my host mom is not a member, but her husband is a member because he was born and raised in Austin Aw.
Oh, okay.
And it's really cool because they also have their own jobs. So the older men will go out and they'll use their heels of their feet to go find the turtle nests. The women will, the older women will come in and they'll dig it up and they'll go out. And that's what they do. And the younger girls will kind of do that too. And the younger men will take these big bags of eggs, put it on their back, and they have a building in Austin Aw. They have a couple buildings actually for AUDIO. And they go, and that is their, like, their regulation building. That is their packaging building.
Oh, okay.
Or for the turtle eggs, for being able to do that, which is pretty cool being able to do that. And also they're only allowed to harvest eggs the first 36 hours of an arvada, which is not 36 hours. It's 2.5 days. It's the first 2.5 days.
Okay.
The third day, it's the last, it's like four of the second, the actual official second day and third day, you can only harvest for 4 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But everyone goes out as a group. Okay. It's not like people just going out like throughout the day. It's like this time to this time, you're allowed to harvest. If you're harvesting before that, it's illegal. If you're harvesting after that, it's illegal. And you're only allowed to harvest during a mass nesting event.
Okay.
That's it. The first 2.5 days.
Okay. So, and like you said, there's people patrolling it too. So it seems like they take it pretty seriously.
Yes, they do. Okay. So and that's what's cool to us. Like, we were like, oh my God, like, what is wrong with these? Like, what is wrong with doing this? We're here to protect the turtles, not to take them away. But when you really get down to it and are educated about it and get to know about it as well, it's really cool to see how regulated it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the positivity of it is that you're clearing the beach for other turtles. Your help, like, just doing that. And you're also deterring poaching.
Mm-hmm.
In the area. Yeah,
that was something else I read on there too, is that one of the reasons why they do it is because people were doing it so much illegally. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of their way to be like, hey, we need to regulate this, we need to balance it out, and then also hopefully help the poachers. And I guess it worked. I mean, it seems like it has. And I think it's, you made a really good point too, where, you know, you go into it thinking, oh my gosh, how can they do this? And then once you're there and you learn their culture and you talk to these people individually that are part of it, that you know, their grandparents did it, great grandparents did it, and they're part of it, then it's like you really get to know what they're doing. And the fact that they've taken steps to regulate it, I think, is always a good step, because there can be cultures that we go into, like a big one is the whole shark finning thing.
Yeah.
And that's like a really serious topic, which I definitely want to get into, but that's like a lot of research down the road until I do that episode. But it's like you kind of have to go into it with saying, hey, I want to learn about your culture. Can you talk to me about it? And then that way it's like, okay, well, if you still don't agree, you can always have that talk with them and be like, hey, well, have you guys ever thought about this? Or how can we help you? Because a lot of these people do it for money or they can't survive. So it's like going into it hating these people, that's not always the best approach, because a lot of the times these poachers or these people are coming into it going, hey, I have to feed my family. And this is what I was born, this is what I grew up showing, like what I was told that I had to do in order to do that. So yeah, you made a really good point. Oh, and with that being said, I know that you probably have more. With the whole like communicating with people, even in the town, tell everyone what you told me about that smoothie place that you went to, because we were talking about your straws.
Oh yeah.
Like that. So this kind of goes into that real quick.
Yeah. So with being on a wildlife preserve or a wildlife refuge, Austinal Wildlife Refuge was created in 1983 after Audio was created, 2 years after Audio was created. And so being there, and they are on about sustainability in Costa Rica, mm-hmm. and wanting to help not disturb the ecosystem and the environment that they have, because Costa Rica has a good majority of like wildlife out of the entire world,
mm-hmm.
in one country. It's a mind blowing. I think my group leader said it was like at least like 12% or something like that.
Okay.
Of the world's wildlife diversity in Costa Rica, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So we were like, this, there's a smoothie crate right across from my house, that my host house that I was staying in. And this lady made the most delicious smoothies though. Like, they were so pure and clean and it was amazing. But she had plastic cups, plastic lids, and plastic straws. And we told our group, we were like, isn't there something that she could do to, like, you know, not have plastic everywhere? And our group leader went and talked to her and like asked her, be like, hey, like, isn't there like a different alternative that you can go and look for?
Yeah.
This lady went the next day.
That's so next crazy. Day.
and took the thing, be like, let me go look. And she only found it in medium cups. but like she found cardboard cups and then like those like paper like cardboard like straws to help, and like actual compostable plastic like lids. But the next day to be able to do that and help with the sustainability to just change a cup, it's not going to change her product, it's not going to change her price, but it's going to help the environment either way.
Yeah.
And that's what they're about.
And that
the,
is
the other place down the street had them in glass cups, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. They had them in glass. You just, you drink them there.
Yeah.
It is more like on the go, but the other place had glass, but which was also really nice because then you just, you don't have, you make, you don't make really any waste, but still, the next day she changed up to make, cardboard medium cups, and that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
Which is the best part. And, and they're open to suggestions to make their sustainability a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. The fact that she did it the next day, and we've mentioned it on the podcast before, where it's just all about communication. And like I was just saying, like, instead of just hating people from the bat, like all you have to do is really try to communicate with these people and their different cultures and just have a conversation with them, because you just never know. You get to learn their culture without, you know, being insulting or without stepping on any toes. And when they see that you're intrigued and you're trying to, you're listening to them and you're trying to get to know them and their culture and their family, then that person or those people are going to be more willing to, you know what, maybe I should change that, just like that lady did for her smoothie place. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It was really cool to see, because he told us and we were like, sweet. And then we all walked back down and we were like, let's go. And we all went and got another one, because they were really good. They were so good. It was a nice little snack. Cause I mean, in Austin, all it's very small. They don't have a lot. They just have like a little like convenience store, restaurant, like two little bars and like a couple like other places. And then like the school, audio, church, and the high school, and houses, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So, and the station, but that's about it. So it's very small, but I loved it over there so much.
Yeah. That sounds like so much fun. Was there a lot of areas where there could be like tide pooling and stuff? I don't know if it was there if the water got low enough when you were there, but.
Yeah. So they're on the, like at the end of the beach, near the station, it got low enough that it was rock. It was like a rock bed.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, like, where we went,
yes, by Half Moon Bay. Oh my gosh. To this day, Pillar Point.
Yes. I was like, why am I blanking right now?
I know.
Yeah, Pillar Point. It's kind of like that, where it was like, it went out and it was like rocky, but it wasn't as far as Pillar Point. But it was like that. I actually have shells from here. I actually found this.
Oh my gosh, how neat.
Yeah, I found this one actually there. It was just on the ground. Gosh. So I was like, I gotta take it. But it's actually like really textured too. I have another one. This one's a little shorter and is another one.
Like, oh my god. That's while this so one's more neat. Textured. Yes.
So this one I actually found there. So I have them up here. And I actually have a picture. There's a hermit crab. There's hermit crabs everywhere, but there's a hermit crab in one of these. And you're like, what the heck? Because he's just in one of these little shells.
Yeah.
It was like a unicorn. I don't know what they're called. They look like a little unicorn horn.
Okay.
If anyone's just listening to this and wondering what I'm talking about, it's this little unicorn horn looking shell. I don't know what they're called. So we didn't see a lot until we got over to Point India.
Okay.
Where we were at, and it's called Punta India, but Point Indian is what it translates to.
Okay.
And why is that? There's this rock, and if you put your hand up, the tree at the top looks like the top of like the like a mohawk, and then it looks like an Indian's face.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and we went over there, and obviously Costa Rica is very active with volcanoes. The volcano I actually got to go the most active volcano right now in the Rincon de la Vieja National Park. In Costa Rica, it's the most active volcano, but there's so much volcanic rock that's there that we gotta go around. And I have a picture of it too, and I need to send it to you. Yes. I gotta see two thick green sea slugs.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know if they're sea slugs or if they're like, they were just a kind of nudibranch. Like, they were like a big nudibranch.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were a big nudibranch and they were just munching and you could see them munching. Like, you could just see their mouth. And I was like, oh my God.
That's so cool.
I was
cool.
Just down like, for like 5 minutes. Like, I was just down by myself, just like,
Friend, Erica works. She comes on the podcast a lot and she's like obsessed with nudibranchs. She like loves them. He loves them, so I'm gonna have to tell her about it. I'm like obsessed. Like, when I go tide pooling, I really don't know why. I should probably do a deep dive on these because I love them so much. Chitons. I love seeing those. Yeah. Did you see any over there?
I didn't see any chitons over there because I was mostly interested in a set of tracks that I still don't know what it is. Okay. I think it actually was an iguana, but there was a tail track. So we were like, oh, it's not an iguana. And I was like, well, it's not a raccoon. It's not this. My group leader was like, it's some kind of bird. And I'm like, what kind of bird has feet like this?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a reptile's foot. I have pictures of it. And I'm still trying to figure out what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
You told me it was like a raccoon. And I was like, it's not a raccoon.
Yeah, theirs is pretty tiny. It's like, something like petite. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned something in a message to me a couple days ago about some animals that can eat these turtles too. Remember the one animal you mentioned to me?
Yes. You mentioned in the Leatherback episode about jaguars.
Yes.
So you and Erica were talking about the jaguars and you guys were not sure if it actually happens.
Yeah,
it does actually happen. It's very rare to see. Mm-hmm. My group leader actually has seen it once where a jaguar has attacked a turtle on the beach. So it does happen. He was in a different part. He wasn't in Austin at all, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
He was in a different part. The only wild creatures I saw were green parakeets and howler monkeys. The only wild and the black vultures and dogs. That's about all that I saw. Okay. So, and howler monkeys are not a predator. The vultures are, but we can regulate the dogs. But yes, jaguar attacks with turtle rare, but it does happen. And it is happening more recently because of the deforestation and the territorial loss of jaguars, that they're getting pushed more towards the coast with the rainforest or dry jungle that they have in Costa Rica. They are getting pushed, and that is why it's happening.
Wow.
What I was told.
Oh my gosh, I'll have to text Erica that and be like, so talked to her today too, so I'll have to tell her. That's so neat. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine like seeing that, because if you're just standing there, like, what do I do? Like, you can't run. The thing's going to like come after you, depending on how far you are.
Exactly.
But that must be creepy. And I'm curious, like, was it during the day? Was it during at night when the turtle was like coming in? Cause you would think nighttime would be like the prime for them.
I think it was at night. I think he was actually on a patrol.
Oh, okay.
I think it also went after a leatherback.
Could you imagine if you were patrolling these beaches and it's like your first night, right? Could you imagine? And then you're just like you said, you're in like this line, you can't use anything. And then your group member comes back and is like, all right, guys, so there's a turtle out there. Yes, but we can't go to it because there's a jaguar. And I would be like, am I gonna die tonight?
Yeah, like I'd be like, and I'm going home. Bye.
Yeah, let's go, guys.
Yeah, they probably like, if that had happened, oh my god, I probably would have been like, I just want to go home now because I didn't bring jaguar repellent.
Yeah, seriously.
I didn't bring anything.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine like what you would do, because like you're pretty far from like a car or something, right? Or from your station.
We can get cars. We mostly traveled in vans.
So how far along of the beach were these nests compared to like where you parked? Like, was it a pretty lengthy walk?
No. Like for us, like you have the road, and mm-hmm. on one side of the road that's near like the hill, it is like the soccer field, houses, the school, everything. On the other side of the road, you have like a couple buildings, you have like a parking space, and then you have the ocean. Like it's just right across the street.
Oh, okay.
Like I lived like just right across the street. Some people actually lived on the beach. Some of their host families are on the beach, and their house is actually on wildlife refuge land. So they live in the refuge. So they actually they can't sell their house.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's crazy.
Because it's actually owned by the refuge. It's its own like thing. It's pretty interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
There and you get into it, especially when you can't read the signs because they're all in Spanish. And I can't speak that much Spanish. And it was bad because I was like, I'm a terrible like host daughter because I can't really communicate with my mom. But she tried her best. I tried mine. I was like, I'm so sorry. My roommate was able to speak more than I can because I did 3 years of French, not 3 years of Spanish.
Same here. Yep. So how does that work though? Like, do they try to put you with people that can speak a little bit of English so there's not like a language barrier if they're your hosts?
The moms like don't speak English at all. Nothing. Some words that are obviously like,
but just not enough to
not enough. Like one day we had a kind of dark cockroach like in like the door, like on the door frame. And because we had an extension of the house, like they had added onto the house.
Okay.
But it wasn't like, it was just for us. So it was just like two bunk beds, a bathroom, and then like some nice shelving and some fans. So we were outside. So it was nice for us at night, especially when you get home at like midnight or 4 a.m. If you're on these patrols, you don't have to go in the house and interrupt and like wake up the family. You just go in there and close the door. Yeah. And she said something in Spanish and then she said, spray, spray, spray. And we were like, yes, she has a spray. And she comes out with the freaking like Raid, like a huge can of the Raid and just sprays like cockroaches. I could say, and I picked up on a lot. I was reading, like I was just reading like the labels of the condiments she would put on the table for lunch. And by the way, all of the food was amazing.
I got tired
of rice and beans, but all the food was amazing. Like it was so good. I could go about the food for like a month and be like, I'm good, but
I'm assuming it's much healthier too, not like processed like it is.
I lost 5.5 pounds on the trip in 2 weeks.
I bet because of the food, because that's how it is in Peru too. Like everything is like, there's really not much process unless you go to the more touristy places and eat there and stuff. But if you're eating at like decent restaurants, like you get that street food, like you will lose weight, especially, I mean, if you're there, you're obviously walking around, especially you with going up and down those beaches. When you had to patrol too,
The portions are like huge.
Oh yeah.
Also because like my host brother is surf, so she's used to feeding hungry guys.
Oh.
She just give us like the same portion, and we're like,
yeah,
smaller portion.
I know, and then you don't want to like not eat it either.
Yeah, so like we would just like eat as much as we could, and she understood. Like we're not going to eat all of it. The food doesn't go to waste. Most of the time, the food just goes to the dogs. So it's fine. So, and I had two dogs and a cat in my house, and I loved all of them, and it was the best. One of the dogs, who's a 7-month-old beagle, Cooper. He followed us all the way down the beach, and my group leader had to text my host mom, was like, hey, just say no, we have Cooper.
Followed
us down the beach.
Good hands
for good, and we just took care of him until like we were, and he was going across all the rocks, like everything, and I was like, bro, please do not go near those rocks, like near the edge, like please do not, like I don't want to tell your mom, like he came back safely and he's fine, so but yeah, it just goes to the dogs. They don't waste any of their food product either. Do as little trash as possible as well.
Okay, good.
That's how they stay really sustainable in the community and in the country itself.
Okay.
Which is good. So don't feel too bad about not finishing your food in Costa Rica. I will go to the animal.
They'll find something.
Yeah. They find something, they find animals, they compost. Like some people do, not all. Yeah. So it's awesome. It's interesting though the way that they do things over there, especially to just like reduce the trash, reduce plastic, just be better in the environment. Like, like one thing that we couldn't, like, we couldn't throw our toilet paper down the toilet.
Yeah,
a little waste basket because they have the septic tanks over there. But it also, that also just helps with the environment. They do something. They take it off somewhere and whatnot.
Yeah, that's how Peru is. About
that. We're like, okay, cool.
Yep. Yeah, that's how Peru is. I mean, I think if you're in like Lima, Peru, like if you're in the nicer places, I think they just think like, I think you can flush it. But like if you're in someone's house in Peru, or if you're in the more residential areas, like in the older parts, like Huancayo that we went to, even Cusco, depending on where you go, like you generally have to throw away your tissue. Yeah.
So yeah.
It's definitely a cultural thing, and it's interesting. It's so interesting to go to these places and, you know, learn about their cultures and what they eat and how even going to the bathroom is different. Like, it's just so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I also, I got to stay in for the 3-day adventure. We went surfing and then we went back to Austin all. And then the next day we traveled back up to the national park, the Rincon de la Vieja National Park. In Costa Rica, it's like an hour outside of Liberia.
Oh, okay.
And I stayed a night in Liberia. It was the first night I stayed in a hotel in Liberia, and then we went off to Austinol, and then we went back through to go to the national park. But I stayed at the Hotel Hacienda, something I can never pronounce. Like something after that that I can't pronounce. And it used to be a cattle farm, and even the, it's an eco lodge. That's there, and they run off of solar panels and geothermal power.
What?
But oh, the geothermal power, this is gonna blow your mind. The geothermal power, you see these huge, like, just lines coming down. They power from geothermal steam from the volcano. They use the volcanic steam, and they have geothermal plants on site that converts the steam into power, and then they do solar panels.
That's awesome. See, why can't we do more things like that here? Right? I don't understand. Like, we have all this technology, we have super smart people that can do all these things, but then it's like something like that, we can't. I don't get it.
Yeah, that was the first that was the first place I actually got, that was the only place I got to take a hot shower.
Oh man.
Everything else is cold. Oh. Everywhere is cold. Like, you have to take cold showers. And like, even the hot water was limited at the Eco Lodge. But oh my gosh, all of us girls, we were like, oh my God, we're gonna take a hot shower. Finally. Oh, like right at the end of the trip, like I was at my husband's house. I'd get in
5 seconds.
Everything done. I needed, get out as fast as possible.
I bet.
It'd be nice when you got out though, because it was like humid and hot. So you'd be like, I'm so fresh now. Like,
I feel better after the shower.
Yeah, but when you're in the shower, you're like, I'm too cold. Oh my God.
Oh, so, I love my warm showers. So that would be tough. I know. But at least they're preserving water because you're in like 2 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's, I'm like, the point. Time to do that? Like, you don't have time to dance and sing in the shower. You have time to get in, get out, because you don't care.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
like, and the water in the ocean water is really nice because it's still refreshing, but it's not too hot. It's not
okay.
Like, it's not hot at all. It's warm and it's really comfortable to just get in.
Yeah.
But it's not like Jamaica water where it's just like way too warm where you're just like, I'm
kind of uncomfortable. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So and it was really cool being able to see those different things and being able to see a different kind of environment. I mean, I went to a waterfall when I was there. I got to go horseback riding while I was there for the adventure stuff. We went zip lining. I have videos of that.
I remember when you went. I think it was after the class that we took. I think you were supposed to, you went like that summer or something.
Yeah, didn't we meet in 2018?
Oh my gosh.
It was like spring of 2018.
I believe so. Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, yeah, because then I went on the Channel Island trip.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that was after the fact.
Yeah, I gotta go horseback riding there. I gotta go ATVing in Jamaica and horseback riding and ziplining.
That's cool.
And cliff jumping. I didn't get a good cliff jumping in Costa Rica.
Oh man.
I know. Well, one of the zip lines horrified me. Well, actually, no, two of them. Because the first line you took was the longest one that you took. And then you went on a little hike, basically, and you climbed up a tree, and then you went across one. The third line, they shoot you down a slide.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Like they're like, okay, get closer. And then you sit down and you're like, okay, good to go. And I'm like, okay. And you just slide down and you just go.
Oh my God.
And then the other one, there's a Tarzan swing. So they just hook you in and you just hold on and you just go across and you're in the middle of a big like canyon with a freaking like river down at the bottom.
Oh my god, no, and
you're up on a platform and I just remember like the guy hooked me in and he's like, okay, hands here and here, and I'm like, okay, here, and he's like, yep, goodbye, and he puts me off. He's like, everyone off.
Yeah, like, goodbye. Oh my god, I would die. I'd probably pass out and let go.
At least you're strapped in, but it's just a rope, like you just have like a little handle here and you just grab on top and you're like, okay.
Oh, hell no. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And like, oh my gosh. The next line was my favorite, though, just because, like, it was just through. Like, it got pretty close to you, and then you just got, like, out of the canyon, just shot you out, and then you have to go up this big staircase of suspension stairs.
Huh.
It scares you half to death, because they're going like this. Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You're strapped onto it, but
yeah.
Like,
but still, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then the last line, you can go upside down if you want it, or like it was great. So yeah. It was amazing. It was fun. Like, I didn't go upside down. I was like,
yeah.
Mm-mm.
Like, no, okay.
Yeah. But the tubing was so much fun, though, because you're just in your own little like round inner tube by yourself. You're with a group, but you're like by yourself. It's different than rafting, but we were only in like class 2-3 rapids. It wasn't that bad. So the only time I fell out was once, and that was the last one. And then I just got back in. We floated back down a little bit and we were done. But it was so much fun. And we got to go to the hot springs too.
Ooh, I've always wanted to visit like a hot spring.
Oh yeah. If you go to Costa Rica, go to those hot springs because it's so pretty.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like there's a suspension bridge that's just a regular bridge, not a staircase. It's an actual just a cross bridge, and you can go over there and you start at pool one, which is the coolest pool, and then you just go pool to pool, and there's like the river. You can go in the river if you want, and then like you can go back across, and there's like more across the more thermal pools across the river, and you can just go pool, and you just keep going.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And then you just hike, you take a trail walk back. So but we got to do a lot in the adventure part. Like it was fun because you then like you got to do all of that hard work with the turtles, and then you got to kind of relax, have some fun, try not to cry because you're like, it's almost over and I don't want to leave.
I know. So you did that more towards the end of the trip, like the
adventure? Yeah, that was the last 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, that was the last 3 days. Because Friday we went surfing, Saturday we traveled, and then Sunday, for my trip, we did the horseback riding, then tubing, we had lunch, and then it was zip lining and the hot springs, and then we went back to our hotel room and packed. So it was,
oh my gosh,
I know, I was like, I don't want to leave. But the most magical moment, though, like, you're going to love this because it was hilarious when I asked this, when I was actually out on patrol. You would not believe it was like all this stuff going on in the middle of patrol. I was just like, Mom, it's magical being on patrol. If it's a clear night. Clear night. If it's not, and it's raining.
Yeah.
Thanks. Ugh. But it's still fun and memorable. But so it's funny because we were sitting on the beach as a group. And I asked my group leader, be like, hey, do you have any bioluminescence here? Like, I'm just wondering. And he's like, yeah, here. I'm like, what? What? Are you kidding me? No. That's... Guess what happened that night?
You saw bioluminescence?
Yes. Oh, while searching for turtles, and it was clear out, and you got to see the whole Milky Way, and I saw a shooting star in the middle of my patrol.
Okay, so your life is made. You don't need to do anything for the rest of your life. Like, it's good. You're done.
Like, no, it was weird though, because the moon was out. Also, the moon's weird because it looks like the Cheshire Cat smile because it's like upside down. No. It's weird, but it's
cool. Oh, that is cool.
So, I have pictures of it. Okay, but cool. It's weird because we were walking and this was like our second patrol. The next night was clear as heck and we were all happy about it. The first night we got soaked as well. And then the last night we got soaked.
Yeah.
So we're like, whatever. So, but we were walking and I just specifically remember, like, you can see like the blue, like just flash.
Yeah.
When you walk, like, just like
in the sand,
not in the footprint, but like beside it when they'd go down. And I was like, is this just me? Like, am I just being weird just because I'm like tired and I don't have my glasses on and like, you know? And we stopped and then one of the girls was like, okay, everyone's seeing what I'm seeing, right? Like everyone is seeing this glow, right? Like, what is this? And so I, even our group leader that was with our other group leader, Carlos, who was with us, he was like, I don't know what that is. Like, I've never seen it in my life. I didn't know what happened. And I'm like, Carlos, it's bioluminescence.
Yeah.
It's
like, how do you not know?
It's illuminating plankton. So I had to explain. I had to explain to him what it was.
Oh, and
it
my
was,
gosh, it was good for you! My life.
I was the most joyous night of my life. But it was so cool because you'd see it, and it wasn't as bright as Jamaica.
Okay,
the moon wasn't that big, but you could see it because eventually the clouds covered the moon, and you just see these waves come like crash kind of far away.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I know. I really wanted to go near the water.
I still haven't seen it in person, but I want to go. I need to look up when the best time in Monterey in like the Moss Landing area, like when the best time to go is. Yeah, because they do the kayak tours in Moss Landing in the little.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't done it yet. I want to say that I was about to do it right before COVID happened.
Oh, yeah.
My friend, she works in the kayak area over there. And she was telling me, yeah, we do the tours in the Moss Landing in the little sanctuary area. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then COVID happened and we never ended up doing it. But
it in September, like of 2019. Oh. And then we were going to do it and then it was too windy. So it got called off. So we didn't go.
So
we were like, cool. Still haven't done it. I've gone kayaking there. And my guide actually was the guy who took the Disney researchers around Monterey Bay Aquarium for Finding Dory.
Oh my gosh. That is so neat.
I was like, so funny. Man. I looked at him and I was like, you are now my best friend.
Right? Oh, yeah. I want to see bioluminescence so badly. But yeah. I was just thinking too, like, that would be pretty cool. Like, if you could see like a turtle in the sand just based off of the bioluminescence.
And
how cool would that be?
Actually, we walked up on a group and our group leader, Esteban, was just like, come here. He put his finger and was like swirling it and it was glowing all really bright on the turtle shell.
Oh, covered in it.
And one of the girls was like, do a heart. So we did a heart on the shell in the pile.
Oh my gosh.
And it glowed like really bright. So it was so cool.
You know what's funny? Okay. You know what's funny is like every now and then, if it's like a movie or a show, and let's say they do like, you know, an action shot of like the waves in the background or just something with waves in the background.
Yeah.
There has been quite a few times where I'm like, oh my God, there's bioluminescence in that shot. And my husband will go, what? And I rewind it. He's like, how the heck did you see that? And I'm like, I don't know. But I mean, like, it's funny because I'll spot it. And there's times where I think I might see it and it's really not, like, after you really look at it, like, it's more of the camera. But I was just watching something with him like less than a month ago. And sure enough, it was in the shot and I was like, oh, bioluminescence. And it was pretty like far in the back in the waves. And he was like, what? I'm like, look. And then I play and he's like, oh my gosh.
I was like, you definitely can find it in probably
a lot of clips.
There was a show because, oh my gosh, what was it? It was with that girl that was from American Horror Story. And it was that like Nurse like Hatchet or something. Was it Nurse Hatchet?
Oh, I know what you're talking. I want to say I maybe watched like the first couple minutes, but I know what you're talking about. It's the main woman from American Horror Story.
That show, there's a, because a portion of it or most of it was filmed in Big Sur in the Monterey area. What? And it legit shows the Fisherman's Wharf. They're having dinner in one of the restaurants and you see it because it was the big bloom, like the big bloom in 2020 that happened. Oh. You see it directly in the back. And I was like, dang.
That's cool. I'm kind of wondering now if it's in that one show that came out a while ago. It's a really short series. It was on HBO with Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman.
Oh,
and they did shots for Monterey, Big Sur area. Big Little Lies? Big Little Lies? I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I know what show you're talking about. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Big Little Something. I'm pretty sure
I'd have to go watch it. I haven't watched it in a while.
But I'm curious if it's in there because they did a lot of shots. Yeah, Big Little Lies.
I didn't know that they filmed it over there, but dang.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, they so the one restaurant or whatever, I think it's a cafe, it's right when you get on Fisherman's Wharf. So there's like that little patch of water. Okay. And they use that as the part of the show as the cafe. And they show the Big Sur Bridge. Let's see, they show parts of the aquarium. They filmed, I think, inside of the aquarium. They show like the big tank, they show like water and some fish and stuff. But yeah, they show I want to say they filmed in one of the Carmel houses, but I could be very wrong. They did a lot. I don't want to say they did all the filming there, but it looks like they did like the majority of it in that whole region, Pacific Grove. And yeah, there were certain parts of the show I was like, oh my gosh, I went there.
Yeah,
it was really cool to watch. But yeah, that it was a really short series. It was good, and there's books on it, but it was really short.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish it was longer. But yeah, is there anything else from your trip that you want to talk about? Is there anything like that you really just like take away from the whole trip? Like, what's the biggest? I know the whole thing is just like you said, magical and amazing, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But like maybe. What would you recommend to people that are like, oh, that maybe think their mindset, like I am guilty of thinking this, like, oh, I can't do that. I can't afford that. Or I could never do a trip like that. Like, what would you tell people?
I mean, I know that like money is like the thing. And if my parents didn't help me up, I would not have gone.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
my parents paid for the trip. I'm not going to lie. And my parents paid for the trip. But
okay.
Because like I'm still a college student, like, they like pay for my college too.
Yeah.
So I'm very lucky in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But like, just like you can always go on smaller trips. You can go to San Diego or like Baja or like other trips that you could that are probably cheaper for you to do.
More
like
accessible.
There's a research thing in Clearwater, Florida that I'm interested in doing. It's on sharks and rays.
Oh, okay.
But it's cheaper than going to Costa Rica because you're going out in the country. It is
right.
Cheap. Look around, really do some.
There is a lot if you look. Yeah.
If you look or ask professors, ask department chairs, ask directors, like
join Facebook groups, things like
that. If you do really research, get online, kind of connect with people, like you should be able to find a good amount and be able to find something that you can afford or do a day trip and do, or do like a small like weekend trip down there and do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I mean, this is my first trip traveling alone, let alone traveling without my family and traveling outside of the country by myself, which was pretty scary for me because I was texting my mom being like, what do I do about this? What about this? What about this? Like, I don't know. And I got here and back. So it's
you're like, I live.
I'm like, I'm good.
No jaguars on the beach. I lived.
I actually also got to see a dead male turtle.
Oh.
Yeah. He was pretty fresh though. So we gotta be able to look really closely at
him. Really, do you think it was from something like an attack or?
No, he didn't. It just have died on him. He just died.
Oh, okay.
He just died.
Hmm. So, do they ever take samples from things like that? Like if they notice that, oh, this looks abnormal, or do they ever? You know how like when there's like strandings of like whales or dolphins, and they end up like dying from that. They kind of will take samples of like, oh, why did they die? Why did they get stranded? Do they ever do that with that type of research, or they just to kind of don't touch that? That's kind of something else.
we didn't really touch it at all. I mean, we as a group, went and looked at it because two of the girls went on a walk and found it and then told the leader and were telling us. So we were like, let's go look at it.
But as for like research, they don't really handle that.
The vultures were already on it when we got to it again. So, cause we had a break before lunch. So they decided to go for a walk. They found it. And then we went for a hike basically straight down the beach. Cause we walked from like marker 52 all the way down to marker 1 and then past marker 1. So it was a long walk.
Yeah.
So cause we go from the station all the way to marker 1, or you go from the station to the main nesting beach all the way to the end of that, and then you come back all the way from the end of the main nesting beach to like in the middle, which is kind of like marker like 36 37.
Okay,
so you have about half the beach, because we did there wasn't a group of 14 of us, that was just one group. We split us into two, so it was group 7 group 7, and then you had like a group leader and a research assistant with you.
Okay, so
cool. Yeah, and they were both in the front and everyone else trailed behind.
Yeah.
So but cool.
Well, it sounds like you had a really fun trip. I'm jealous. But I'm really happy that you came on and just told everybody, you know, from part one and part two of this, I guess you can call it a series. I don't know what to call it. But yeah, that sounds like so much fun. And I feel like you were saying, just kind of connect with people. Like that's what I've said that on this podcast before. Like I have no problem messaging people like in the field and be like, hey, how did you get to where you were? Or, do you want to come on the podcast? Or, hey, like what in this area, you know, just like in general, like what can I do? What volunteer places? What can I look up? What can I subscribe to like get updates? So there's like a lot of stuff, like connecting with people is like a big number one on like, just connect with people on Instagram. Don't be afraid to message people, because that can definitely hold people back. It's like, oh, I don't want to bother them. No, because if anything, a lot of people in this field are more than happy for the most part to answer people's questions. And at least I always tell everybody on the podcast, feel free to message us. And we get a lot of messages, which I absolutely love reading, because we get people from telling us what they're doing while they listen to the podcast. Like they'll be in like labs and stuff while they listen to the podcast and it gets them through the day. Or we have other people that are in high school and they're like, hey, how do I get to like where you are right now? And then it's like, we get all sorts of questions. So it's really nice to be able to tell people that, on this specific episode and your trip and everything. So thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, the best part too is that once you kind of like find like a little research thing, you find more research opportunities.
Yeah, once you start meeting people in that like community, it's like it kind of branches out from there. Yeah. I think.
Like I with Bioma, Bioma's launching their first alumni trip, which is actually to the Caribbean to do leatherback studies. And the first group that went got to see a good amount of leatherbacks, got to hatch leatherbacks. And not hatch, but like release leatherback babies, and got to see a hawksbill while they're there too. So it was really cool.
Yeah.
And then there's also volunteer researching at the station as well that I could go do. And that's around the world. There are people from Germany, England, France. Like I heard like probably like 5 different languages that they had.
Yeah.
So like I found 2 other research opportunities. I mean, yeah, they're in Costa Rica and I'm going to have to pay for those myself, but like it's super cool being able to, once you kind of find an inlet, then you find other research opportunities and other connections to connect you with them. Cause it's like, the like people who are your group leaders or like research assistants or whatever, like, and they see you and they work with you, they're more than happy to write you a letter of recommendation or help you get into a program there or somewhere else to help further you in your career or just passion of wanting to research.
So that's awesome. Just don't be afraid to reach out. But thanks so much for coming on, and maybe we'll do some deep dives in the future. I was telling Mackenzie that maybe we can do more of a deep dive on these turtles, or maybe just something else if you want. But I'm trying to venture out to do that. So she might be coming back on, but Thanks so much for listening, you guys. These video episodes will be up on our Patreon page. So if you guys would like to support the podcast, you guys can check out our Patreon page. The link is in our bio, and you can check out the tiers from there. I'm also trying to change things up. I might be adding a couple things and rearranging things. I'm trying to think about maybe going live like once a week or bi-weekly or monthly. I don't even know, but I have a poll on our Patreon page right now, open for everyone, not just patrons, where you can vote if you would like them weekly. And this will obviously be a perk on the tier. So the going live and chatting with people, however many times you guys vote, that'll be a perk on there. So it won't be open to everyone. So yeah, just go vote and you can check out our Patreon page and you can watch these videos if you want to watch them and listen to them. But watching this, I upload once a month for videos if you guys want to watch it. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting about your trip. Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. It was awesome. And I hope that you come back on soon.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Hi, Kirsty here. If you're listening to this, that means you made it to the very end of the episode. So thank you so much for that. It really means a lot when each and every one of you takes the time to listen to these episodes. If you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and even our TikTok page to stay updated on the latest news and episodes. Again, thank you guys so much for all the support and stay tuned for next week's episode.